City Talk 105.9. Official podcasts. Online at citytalk.fm. City Talk 105.9. The best of Roy Basnett.
Hello and welcome to this week's podcast. Each week we will be bringing you some classic moments from our award-winning programme on City Talk 105.9, The Voice of Liverpool. This week we're going to hear from Tom Biscardi, a man who spends his life searching for Bigfoot. He had some amazing stories to tell us. Have a listen to this.
City Talk 105.9, The best of Roy Basnett.
Roy, thank you for calling.
Yeah. No,
good morning. Back at you.
My pleasure, mate. My pleasure. Looking forward to finding out what it's all about. And before we start, let's get a bit of background on it. Tell us a little bit about yourself and how you became involved in the hunt for Bigfoot.
Roy, it started a little over 35 years ago, back in 1967, when I saw on a program, a TV television program, called The Johnny Carson Show. Probably
yep.
A lot of your young listeners out there don't even remember who that guy was, but he was very famous here in the States, and I'm sure all over the world. He had the late night show with Johnny Carson, and on that show, I saw this guy called Roger Patterson, who had taken the first footage, bona fide footage that everybody thought, of this walking creature up in Bluff Creek, California. It was in October of 1967, Roy. And that night I says, oh, my God, here they've got this thing walking around in the woods, and we're just about on the threshold of sending man to the moon a few years henceforth. I says, why can't we find something like this? So I went to the libraries and found out who my predecessors were and contacted them all. And at that time, there was a lot of famous people that had gone out looking for this thing, who, unfortunately, a lot of them have passed on, and I'm still doing what I'm doing and keeping on. And since then, I've had six encounters throughout the 35 years tenure, believe it or not.
Well, six encounters with Bigfoot.
That's correct. I've had six sightings.
Right.
All throughout the United States, Roy.
I see. Well, take us back to the first time. What was it like?
Well, the first time that I had seen it, it was something that just blew my mind. It was northeast of Spokane, Washington, up in the Cascade Mountains, where I was with a tracker. That's all he had done, was just track these creatures, these primates. And it was early in the morning when the sun was just coming out, and one of these things had sat on some limestone outside of a cave where the limestone attracts heat, the sun, and it acts as a conductive to retain heat.
Mm-hmm.
So these things were actually, this one in particular, was sunning itself, believe it or not.
Right.
And it was about 100 yards in a valley across from us, but we had seen it like it was, you know, as close up because of the binoculars that we had used back in those days. And it was really totally amazing. The one that really comes to mind that just totally blew my mind was the one up in Northern California where we had gotten about 12 feet away from it, Roy, and I'll tell you and your listeners about that story. We were up we were looking for trails to run our dogs because bear season was going to open up in the next couple of days. So we were going up the logging roads about 4,000 to 6,000 feet up in Burney Mountain. And as we're going up the logging roads, all of a sudden my partner puts the brakes on them and says, my God, look. We get out of the rig and here we see these human foot-like prints with five toes crossing the road, in excess of 15, 16 inches long and 9 inches across the spray of the toes. So we followed them into the forest, and the deeper that we got, the more intense this stench had gotten, this smell. And all of a sudden, we could see this thing that was feeding on a chokecherry bush, all full of hair. And we came within 12 feet of this thing, and we just stopped. And this thing rises, turns, and looks at us, Roy, and has still had the choke cherry juice around its mouth and fur, and you can see the redness being entwined in its type beard or hair. But the eyes, when it looked at us, Roy, it looked like a human's eyes. It looked like it was looking right to us to say, who are you and what are you doing here?
Right.
It was something that I'll never forget till the day I die. It kind of like looked right through us type thing.
Hmm.
We finally, you know, we walked backwards slowly. Then I'll be honest with you, we ran like hell to get out and get back into the rig, get down the mountain and get the rest of our friends together. We gathered them with some gear and came back. And, of course, by the time we did all that, the thing was hightailed, you know, out of the area.
Right, I see. So when was your most recent sighting, Tom?
The most recent was the one that we had in Texas back 2 years ago. Now, up in Paris, Texas is probably one of the hottest areas. We consider it a hot spot. And all of your listeners out there can go to my website, www.searchingforbigfoot.com, and just go to the table of contents, and they'll see all the different states that we've been through and everything that we've found. And on the front page, it'll see all the current stuff that what's going on there, where my team or myself are out searching for these things now. But the last time was the one out there in Paris, Texas, which was totally incredible, Roy.
Yeah.
We had gone out there, and we had found anywhere from 12 to 15 prints by the shore of this man-made lake. And these things had gone in pretty deep. You had to have been pretty darn heavy, anywhere from 400 to 600 pounds, to leave an indentation into this ground to be so clear. And we're talking about prints that ranged anywhere from 18 to 22 inches in length. And I had some of my crew around a bend at this point making plaster of Paris casts.
Mm.
And because it wasn't line of sight, the walkie-talkies wouldn't work, so I had to walk around the bend and go back to the place where we had our rigs and equipment. And as I was doing that, off on to my left and parallel to me, I catch a sight of this beast, this creature, this primate, which was somewhere in the vicinity of 7'1" to 7'5" in height. And here I'm gesturing to my guys to the left because I didn't want to yell or anything and scream with my hands to say, hey, it's over here, look. And two of my trackers seen it, and they ran after this thing. But these things, Roy, are so quick. They move so swiftly. It's totally remarkable,
yeah.
Okay? On a 20-foot road, it takes one of these things two or three strides, and it's gone from
it's
one
gone.
Side to the other.
Right. It's City Talk 105.9. We're talking with Tom Biscardi this morning, who is the webmaster of the site Searching for Bigfoot. You've been using the term these things during the course of our interview. Am I to assume that Bigfoot is not just one item, that there are a number of them?
Oh, you're so right. There's a minimum of 3,500, and I was the one that came up with the figure.
3,500?
3,500 to around 7,000 of these creatures in North America alone, Roy. And you're probably saying, well, how do you know that, Tom? And I'm going to tell you how. Between all of the sightings just in 1 year, we have come up with that there was, and of course there's probably multiples in that same area, that there was somewhere around 7,700. And I'm not talking just in one region. I'm talking from the state of Washington, Oregon, California, Montana, Minnesota, upstate New York, New Mexico, Arizona, Florida, Georgia, Alabama, and there's sightings. And more that we get out there to these states, Roy, it's bringing it to the surface and bringing it to the front, in which everybody and its brother now who have had an encounter come out and let us know about it. You see, we have a blog talk radio. We were so bold, Roy, back going on 3 years now. It's called BigfootLiveRadioShow.com. Every Wednesday night, 7 to 9 o'clock, from 7 to 8 o'clock p.m. California time, I have a live show in which I talk about all the sightings that have encountered, that people have encountered the week before, whether it be from Montana and the Blackfoot Indian Reservation, mm-hmm. to people down there in Arkansas where they've gone out hunting. Right now, since October, it's a migrational period, Roy.
Right.
These creatures migrate north to south during this time of the year, and then,
yeah.
of course, during the summertime, they migrate from south to north, just like other animals
right.
do.
I've got
more sightings being seen.
Got to pick up on a couple of things there, Tom, what I'd like to ask you. First of all, the numbers would suggest to me, because of the very size, the sheer volume of them, that it would be quite easy to track these things down, and it shouldn't be such of a mystery. And also, what I would like to ask you as well, is this particular animal, if you like, Bigfoot, Sasquatch, call it what you will, is it a carnivore, and is it therefore dangerous to humans?
Two great questions, Roy. Number one, even if it was 10,000 creatures, that's nothing. It's so minute you have no idea. Do you remember a year back, Roy, you and your listeners, about the adventurer Steve Fawcett? He was the millionaire guy that was out there, and his plane crashed, and they couldn't find him.
Right, yeah.
Okay, and they just found him about 2 months ago. It was about 13 months after he had crashed. This guy was 200 miles from an airport where he crashed, and it took them 13 months to find the wreckage and the body. Think about that.
Right, yeah.
And here it is, 2008, where we're so high-tech with GPSs, satellites and everything else going on, and we couldn't find this plane crash within a 200-mile radius of an airport.
Right. I see where you're going with that.
Mm. So that's exactly where I'm going. I can take you to parts of America here in the United States, Roy, that I could lose you and the world would never find you. There's points that GPSs don't even work.
Right. I see.
So it's very rural in a lot of places here in the U.S.
Okay. So what about Sasquatch being a danger to the public?
Great, another great question. In the beginning, when I first started off, the fecal matter that we found, of course, we used to fast freeze it and get it analyzed and go to find out that it was herbivorous. It was or something that would eat small rodents if it had caught it, or primarily corn. It would eat mushrooms, a lot of mushrooms. They used to eat a lot of mushrooms, these things. And now that we're finding out that they're protein eaters. They're meat eaters now, okay? So now that we know that they've got brains and they're thinking, that is a very big major breakthrough here. And yes, the only way that they're harmful to anyone in any stories that I have found at this point in time, Roy, is when these things were cornered or caged somehow, in which they feared for their life, and that's they're just like a human being or any other animal, they're going to fight back.
Are there any recorded cases of people that have been attacked by a Bigfoot?
Oh, yeah. It goes back to Albert Ostman back in the 1800s. There was a case. See, and more and more is happening now. There's a nesting place up in Northern California, which I'm going to be talking about to a woman tonight on my show, who had seen a family pod of these creatures where they've been actually roosting and been staying there for several years because they found serenity of being away from humans and they found the serenity of being away from people, and they've got enough food source and water source to stick it out, and it's become like their home. And I'm dying. I just I can't wait to get her on my show tonight to hear the whole story, what she's encountered and what she's found.
Right. We're talking with Tom Biscardi this morning here on City Talk 105.9 about the Bigfoots, which, if I use one of your quotes here, actually, one of your statements is, I've always had a love for the myths, unknowns and mysteries. Which category of those do you put Bigfoot in? Because you're not saying he's a myth. Therefore, you're saying he is, if you like, a credible mystery.
You bet. Without a doubt, and that's very apropos.
Right. Okay. Is it true, though, that a few years back you'd actually caught one of these things, Tom?
No. What had happened was, you're talking about the Stagecoach incident, in
right.
which a woman that wasn't all there mentally was in contact. We didn't know she was all there mentally. She was in contact with one of my crew, and that was the ironic thing. One of my crew had known this person for in excess of 30 years, and that's what caught my ear at the beginning. And then finally, it got to the point that, okay, fine, you really got it. Well, let's see it. And
Tom. She was saying to you, "I have caught him."
Yeah, she had caught two of these creatures, apparently. It was on a reservation in Stagecoach, Nevada. And apparently what happened was the Indians had shot these things, and she had nursed them back to health along with a veterinarian, with a doctor.
Right.
Well, we go to find out that we get down there. The woman was delusional, and she had us going, I'll tell you that, straight up. And we really believed the stories that she was telling us, and until we got down there and we go to find out that the whole thing was a ruse and the poor thing had to be institutionalized.
Right, really. I see. So, I mean, obviously, divided opinion on this. Many people believe in its existence and many people categorically don't. I would imagine those that don't probably hold you up to ridicule. What's your kind of response to that, Tom?
That's another great question, Roy, and I'm glad you brought that up. Here's my response. What you need to do is, and I invite everyone, that when we're on expedition or in their area, I invite you. You come out and see it as I see it, when I see it, where I see it, and then you have one thing to say. Either you believe or you don't.
I mean, in terms of your period of time that you've looked for Bigfoot, if you like, and you mentioned that you've had, was it 5 or 6 or 7 encounters?
Six times.
I mean, that sounds like a lot of encounters, but if you compare that to probably the amount of times you've been hunting, does it make it a rarity?
Very rare. Very rare. But see what's happened here, Roy, especially with me right now, because of my popularity, because of my celebrityism, and because of me being who I am in the Bigfoot world, I get more and more people coming forth and saying, hey, Tom, you're not going to ridicule me because you've been there. You're not going to laugh at me or think I'm crazy, okay? Because a lot of these people who have encounters, Roy, are very afraid and they keep it to themselves. And they say, man, I'm not going to say nothing because, my God, you know, my friends, relatives, and neighbors are going to think I've gone off my bean. Okay?
Yeah.
But now, because of me bringing it to the front the way I have with myself and my crew and made it, this thing, a household name in virtuality when you think about it. It is an icon. It's a brand now, all right? That we're out there. This is what we do for a living, 24/7, okay? So therefore, it's a lot easier for us because we're out there going to hotspots all over around this country where people have had encounters or sightings, and we follow up with them.
Right.
And we go out into these areas to see if it was real or it wasn't.
Yeah. Do you have many famous individuals in the United States of America that subscribe to the existence of Bigfoot?
Oh, my God. There are so many. But, see, you know, you have to respect their anonymity because they don't want the ridicule, but they're coming out, you know, slow but sure. And they themselves have had an encounter while they were hunting, while they were on vacation, or their personal beliefs.
Right. Okay.
So, but yes, and you're going to see it. You're going to see it more and more in this upcoming next year or two that people are going to come forth and say, "Hey, man, you know, there are such a primate that's inhabited in these woods and these mountains, and not just here." You know, we're talking all over the country, in China. All right, I was there. I was invited back in 1973 to by the Academy of Sciences in the Hubei province, where they call it the Red Man of China. You know, they've got them in Russia. They've got them all over the place.
It comes under the branch of cryptozoology, does it not, this, Tom?
Correct. These are unknown cryptids.
Right. Can you give us a brief outline as to the definition of the term cryptozoology?
Well, you know, anybody could be a cryptozoologist, okay? Those who believe in these primates, in this cryptid, that they believe there's something that walks on two, okay, that's could have possibly been or evolved from the monkeys, from the evolution of man, would be in under this category.
Right, I see. And they've evolved separately, if you like, in a very clandestine kind of way.
Very much so, Roy.
Right. What about evidence, then, that will be indisputable? Could we hope to see that in the not-too-distant future, Tom?
You know, I got to tell you something. You know, you guys probably heard about, well, it went all over the world, about those two guys from Georgia, those two clowns who had the supposed dead one in the freezer.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay? Well, you know, I was the one that brought that thing to the front. And I'll tell you what, I thought what they had was real, and there was nobody's money but mine and my company. We spent over $90,000 to give to those jokers, and to show you how macabre and sick those two individuals were. You know, and here they are, law enforcement individuals, Roy.
Mm-hmm.
And if you can't believe in your own law enforcement people, well, then we've gone really whacked out in this world, okay?
Right. Oh,
and when we dissected that body, when they transferred that body over to my team, and I had them here with me, given that worldwide press conference, it took them, they didn't think I was going to have that block of ice, 1,900-pound block of ice, Roy, that encased this suit with four types of dead animal body parts inside that suit, believe it or not.
Really?
So those eyes that I touched, they were real, Roy. Those that tongue and teeth that I touched, those were real. The intestines that was hanging out, they were all real, Roy, but of parts of dead animals, where they strategically placed them in that suit to make people believe, like myself, that it was real.
Incredible. Well, we've got to conclude on that one there, Tom, but please do tell us a little bit about your website, if you would.
Well, thank you so much. It's www.searchingforbigfoot.com. It's the most up-to-date, the most clarifying situation where a layman can go to and look, go under the table of contents, look under the front page. And by the way, as they scroll down, there'll be a big yellow box, and that's where you can just click on and go to our radio show. And it's live every Wednesday night, 7 to 8 p.m. California time. BigfootLiveRadioShow.com, where you'll hear the most interesting and up-to-date stories on Bigfoot.
When's your next expedition, by the way, Tom?
The first week in January, next month, 2009, Roy.
Well, hopefully you'll have something really good to tell us, and we'd like to catch up with you if that's possible.
God bless you, and anytime you're in the States, you're always welcome to come out on an expedition wherever we are, Roy.
Well, that's certainly been an unusual event, though. I might consider that one. I might take you up on it. Tom, it's been great speaking to you. Thank you very much indeed.
God bless, and Happy New Year coming up.
And that's this week's podcast from the Roy Basnett Show on City Talk 105.9. Don't forget, you can join me live on the radio each weekday morning between 2 and 6 a.m. on City Talk across the Northwest and North Wales on 105.9 FM or DAB Digital Radio. And of course, you can listen live online at citytalk.fm. Don't forget, there are more podcasts available from our other talk show hosts here at City Talk 105.9. Why not try downloading the Pete Price podcast, featuring some of the best guests from his late night show. That's it for now. Catch you next week.
City Talk 105.9, the best of Roy Basnett. Listen, and log on to the voice of Liverpool. City Talk 105.9.